The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about a story. You might have seen Ellen Coyne in the Irish Independent actually writing about this today. Reports that there's hundreds of children around the country being left without places in special schools this coming September and without the resources they need to progress. 161 applicants they talk about by way of example for just 52 places at one such school on Bagot Street in Dublin. Nessa Sheehan is with me, principal of Catherine McCauley National School on Bagot Street. Nessa, you're welcome to the Hard Shoulder and thanks a million for coming in to us. And Carol Wickham is with us as well, who has direct experience of this from the other end of the spectrum as a parent. Carol, you're very welcome too, and thank you for joining us. Nessa, can you just, for people who maybe haven't seen that piece in the paper today, explain the situation here in terms of the kids we're talking about, what difficulties they have and what resources are not available to them?
So we're talking about kids who are at the most severe end of presentation of the difficulties that they have. In our particular case, it's children who are severely dyslexic. So to your average person out there, that's a child who cannot read and sometimes cannot write. So we have children coming from between the ages of 8 and 12. So imagine if you were getting to the end of primary school and you couldn't read, even though you were super bright. These are the kinds of kids. It's quite a small percentage of the population. It's about the 2% mark. And what we're seeing is quite worrying in terms of just an increase year on year of the number of applications for places, so the level of oversubscription. So this year, for example, for the 24-25 school year, we had 161 valid applications for 52 places.
Okay.
And that ended up after enrolment was concluded. I had a full waiting list of 99 kids, which means I could fill two of my schools.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know we could get kind of lost in the weeds in terms of, you know, allocation of resources and how that's managed and how that was changed and the shortcomings therein. And ultimately, though, it's just a question of under-resourcing, isn't
yeah.
it? I mean, regardless of how you manage that, there's just under-resourcing happening, is there?
It's a question of provision. Every child is entitled to an appropriate education. Just because you happen to struggle more than your peer doesn't mean that you're an inconvenience to the state and you should just be ignored. So it's about planning appropriately with the numbers that present. So we present our numbers every year to the department and to the NCSE. And despite that, and despite being able to tell them on the map in and around, like I have kids who come from five different counties, the argument is often, why should they have to leave their locality to have to come to get an appropriate education? And to an extent, they will still need something separate and disparate because their severity won't go away overnight because we
yeah.
want to. But they could open up centres that are closer to home. So they could plan for this much
better.
But
if you have a bus coming from a particular area, I mean, if there's one individual coming from kind of all of County Meath, you can understand that the department's
yeah.
reticence maybe yeah. to open a school or to allocate resources.
But I have two full buses.
Yeah, two full buses. But there's 100 kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or close thereon, coming from County Meath, which would suggest that resources do need to
yeah.
be
It's about
directed.
Planning in accordance with and looking ahead and seeing, well, what's the need that's presenting? And remembering that we're only planning for the most severe. We're not talking about the kids who can absolutely successfully experience inclusion in mainstream, because mainstream schools are doing a fine job. But we're talking about the kids who they cannot allocate for, that they can't replicate what it is that we do in a specialist school.
Well, I mentioned Carol is with us as well. And Carol, you've, I understand, have 9-year-old twins and one of whom has severe dyslexia. So what's your situation with regards to school places?
That's right. So I have 9-year-old twins, one of which has severe dyslexia. We have been fortunate enough to get an assessment for her. And it has shown that she needs to attend a reading unit where the ratio of kids to teachers would be much smaller, so typically 9 to 1 based on their needs to deal with their difficulty in reading and writing. Unfortunately, by the time I got my assessment, the deadline had either closed for the schools that were available to me or, you know, as you're hearing, there was no places anyway. Now, I'm in a very fortunate position. I have three reading unit schools that would have been feasible to us. And I'm very aware we're very fortunate with that. There's a lot of people who wouldn't even have one within an hour's drive commute. But all three were full, couldn't take my daughter this September, even though it's showing that this is what she needs and she needs to be in it for 2 years. I've had to make the choice to take my daughter out of the school that she's in, even though I am extremely happy with the school that she is in, to put her in mainstream third class of a school that is connected with a reading unit, in the hope that in September, 12 months, she may get a place within the reading unit. But even at that, I have no guarantee.
God, it's an awful position to be in, Carol. How, like, you know, when you're talking about kids who are very, very young, I mean, to a degree, some of this just washes over them. But a 9-year-old is savvy. You know what I mean? They know what's going on. How is she dealing with it all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's in, you know, an unfortunate or unfortunate situation where while she's severely dyslexic, her non-reading intelligence is above the, you know, is above where the average child in her class may be at. So she's dealing with that frustration of being extremely intelligent and trying to find a way to articulate and deal with that when she can't read or write it. She's also excellent at maths, but she cannot read the problems that need to be solved. She can do the maths, but she can't read the problems to be solved. So even subjects that she's really good at that you mightn't typically associate with reading, she struggles unless she has the necessary support. We are very lucky. Dyslexia is in the family, so we've always been able to talk about it very positively. She sees it as a superpower. She knows that she's different to other children and that she learns in different ways. She understands that she needs to go to a different school, but it doesn't just affect her, it affects her twin sister as well, because they've always been in the same class together.
Yeah.
They've always had the same friends. So it doesn't just affect the child who, you know, has dyslexia. It affects the whole family unit when the necessary supports aren't fully there.
Nasa, that's one aspect of this as well, is that it knocks self-esteem, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Like, the first thing that we have to do in the first term, we have 50% turnover, so we'll have 50 new students every year coming in the door. We need to, first of all, work on their self-confidence and their self-concept and how they see themselves before we can get the work going, because they all come in the door and they feel stupid. They feel like, even though they're really bright, that they have been failing in school. Kids know when they're not doing as well as their peers. Mm. They know when they're struggling. They know what they're good at, but they feel, and it's that sense of failure. If you don't catch that early on, that stays with you forever. So we have to be really careful about that as well, that ignoring this as an issue of resourcing, it actually has a huge impact on. People are so keen to talk about wellness and mental health at the minute. This is what it looks like. This is it. For small children. And it's not okay that a lack of provision is going to add to that burden. It's like Carol says, it affects the whole family.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have parents emailing me this morning after coming back after a break. And, you know, obviously, like any school, I'm pushing the reading over the holidays, you know, terribly boring person that I am. Parents all over the country hate people like us. But I'll have parents getting on saying, oh my goodness, you know, we had that coming back to school dread because, again, the brother and sister maybe would have been reading Goodo.
Yeah.
And yet their book that they have, even though they're doing really well and they've come on so much, self-esteem is huge. It's a huge part of how you see the world.
It is. Listen, we thank you both for your time and talking about this with us. Nasa Sheehan is the principal of Catherine McCauley National School on Bagot Street in Dublin. And Carol, who described her own situation that she has at home with one of her 9-year-olds. Carol, thank you very much as well for taking the time to share that story.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.